Good morning. Hey, that's great. It's nice to be welcomed. It's good to be together with God's people, isn't it? Amen. It just was a wonderful time of worship this morning. Thank you for lifting your voices in praise to God. There's something special about a church family all lifting their voices together that just makes worship an amazing time of coming before the throne of God. You know, just before we get into things, with Pastor Leroy, you were used to Nebraskan farm stories, right? And I've discovered that I tend to have a trend of stories as well, and you get a lot of Mark stories, maybe some baseball stories. Well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to add some stories to my repertoire. I'm going to add some Jeffrey and Alicia stories. It is my pleasure to announce that Susie and I are going to be adding two young ones to our family. And please meet Jeffrey and Alicia. This has been a whirlwind of a week, to say the least, as We got a call this week that there was a couple of children available, a brother and sister, and they are precious. And I'm just going to break down right now. I tried to start with a joke so I would stay laughing and not cry. I just want to thank you as a congregation and as a church family for your prayers, because this has been a journey for us and over the last actually 15, 16 years. And I know many of you have been following the adoption process and all of the classes and all of the things that we've been going through, and to then finish and to all of a sudden get a call so quickly has been a blessing from God. But also, while this may represent Quest's end, it also represents Quest's beginning, as you can see by those two little ones. I'm not sure when they'll be at church, but when they are, just As I know our congregation does and our church family does, just help them adjust. It's going to be a time of transition for them. Little ones have been through a lot of change, and hopefully this is the last major change in their lives. So thank you very much for your prayers. Thank you, Dawn. This morning we talk about Quest's end, and it's fitting to show the picture and all of a sudden have our family growing. And as we've actually spent a lot of time with Jeffrey and Alicia this week, some nights we'd go home and be like, what have we done? This is two more like that. And but it represents, yes, a finishing and of one aspect of prayer, but it represents the beginning of a lifetime of ministry to these little ones, not only for us, but our church family, as you'll all have opportunity to minister to them. And this morning, as we talk about Quest's end and end our series on the quest for godly character, we sort of are in the same boat. As we finish a series and as we finish these four different paths that we've looked at and the 12 different character traits that God wants to build in us, it's not as if we come today and say our quest is finished. I'm done. I am Christ-like. You'd throw me out if I honestly said that. Because we all know that we're not there. And so, in some senses, the quest's end may be an end of talking about it and thinking through these verses and so many verses that we've covered in the last 4 months. But it also represents a beginning. It also represents, okay, where do we go from here? What do we do with this? Was this a nice topic of discussion and some nice character traits that, oh, we should really have? Or was this more? When you think in the movies of quests, and I'm going to go back full circle to some of the things that we talked about on week one, as that's been a little while now. When we think of quests in movies, how does the movie end usually? Credits, maybe right before the credits. How does it end usually?
They succeeded, and that's the end of the story.
they succeeded, and that's the end of the story. You know, in Indiana Jones and the third one, forget the title now, Last Crusade, how does it end? Riding off in the sunset, they finished their quest. They found what they were looking for. And if you think of the incredible quest movies, that's sort of the way it is. I mean, what would happen if that's not how the movie ended? You sit there for 2 hours and you've watched them follow the quest and they never found it and you go home. Or maybe you're watching Star Wars and they try to blow up the Death Star and they fail. We have some Star Wars fans, right? Or maybe in Raiders of the Lost Ark, you spend all this time and then you find out it wasn't really the Ark. There would be this letdown of, well, we didn't finish. And that's sort of the mindset that we have built into us, is that we have a quest, we execute the quest, we finish the quest, woohoo, 2 hours later, credits roll, and life is good. But as we finish the series Slaying the Giant, the quest is just beginning. It's not a 2 hour and we're done and we're good. It's a quest that lasts a lifetime. In fact, our quest does not conclude until we are in glory. But when we are in glory, it will conclude and be finished well. And so today, I just want to spend a few moments that we have to wrap up where we've gone, to remember a little bit of all the things we've talked about with the quest, to review where we've been, but then to examine where we are. To examine where God would have us and what He would have us do, but then to look also forward to the hope of where we're going. So as we look at where we've been, we started 4 months ago, like I said, talking about sanctification. Talking about the process of sanctification, and in our lives that starts at justification. It starts when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and He regenerates us and redeems us and washes us, as we sang this morning, with His blood, and washes our sins away. And at that moment, before God, we are redeemed because He sees us through the blood of Christ, but by no means are we perfect. Amen? And if you are, then praise God, come talk to me and we'll sort a few things out. But we are not perfect, and so then sanctification is this process throughout the course of our life, our entire life, where God every day wants to make us more Christ-like, wants to make us more like Him. And so we talked about the giant being self-centeredness, our natural man, the unregenerate man. And that at salvation, God begins to sanctify us and move us towards Christ-likeness. And so our quest has been from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. And this morning, we'll be jumping around as we're reviewing, jumping around to a lot of different texts. But Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 really gives us our starting point. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And so you get this picture of self-centeredness, being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And in two verses, you see the whole quest, moving from the natural man and our evil desires that are corrupting us to being like Christ, to having His character, to having the characteristics that can only come from Him. Romans 8:29 says, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. To be conformed to the likeness of His Son, or to be molded, to be shaped. And you get the idea of a potter with clay squeezing and pressing and clay oozing out, and the shape slowly coming to be of Christ-likeness. And that is what God wants to do, and that is the quest that encompasses our entire life. Another verse that I love, one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, and then catch the second part, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. And so it's this idea that we are being changed and transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. So every day there should be growth, and there should be new Christ-likeness forming in our hearts. Verse ends, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, speaking of the power of that change. And so we started with this idea of sanctification, that God is trying to do something with our character. And as we thought about character, we realized that character is defined by the nature of God. If we look at what godly character is, it's who God is. And so each week, as we've looked at the different elements, we've looked at how that element is displayed by God, or how we are responding to an attribute of God. We also know that God's Word is essential to know to the nature of God, to knowing His nature. And so without a study of God's Word, this whole exercise, this whole quest is worthless. It's going on a quest for a priceless artifact that you don't know what the artifact is, and you don't have a map for how to get it. And that's what happens when we try to pursue godly character without spending time in His Word, without the essential guidebook. We talked about that character is worked on, that change is possible, and throughout verses we see over and over that this is something that we should strive for. A quest is why that's why we use that word. But also that character is holistic. God wants to change every part of our lives. He doesn't just want to build in this area for us to be people of integrity while over here we hate everyone. He wants to build character in all of our lives, because if I'm lying here, it doesn't just mean I have bad character here, it just means I have bad character. And I've failed when it comes to God's character. And so character is holistic. And I love a quote that we used that week: God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. And isn't it true that those difficult times in our lives are the times when our character is refined the most? As we look back, maybe in the middle of it you don't feel like it, but when we look back and we say, when did I grow the most? When did I become most like Christ? It's usually the most difficult times when we weren't comfortable, when we didn't know where help would come from. And so that served as the basis for our quest, from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. And then we looked in 1 John chapter 2, and I'd like you to turn there again. It's been a basis of the four paths that we've talked about. In a couple of sermon series from now, we're actually going to be studying 1 John, so you'll get a little head start on 1 John 2. But turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. And I just want to remind us of where we've been on the quest. What areas we've looked at. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. And so one of the paths that we chose to look at as God here is outlining things that get in the way of our godly character, in the way of our Christian life, so we looked at the area of hate. And hate that can grab our hearts and hold us down, that its tentacles can wrap themselves around us. And we finished that path with love, if I can spell right. moving from hate to love. And we looked at forgiveness and we looked at acceptance and the process of moving from hate to love. But again, as we wrap up, may it not be just about hate, but there's a whole variety of attitudes that maybe falls under this character of not loving my brother. And maybe it is anger, and maybe it is bitterness. Maybe it's something we didn't talk about, something like gossip. Maybe it's just wanting evil for somebody because they deserve it, to get their due. And so we looked at this and how to move past that, because God said if we hate our brother, we are not in the light. And moving on in 1 John chapter 2, let's continue to read, starting at verse 12. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And he goes through the list again. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And then we get the second part of our list where we dealt with three more things. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And in verse 16 there, you see another list, three different areas of sin and three different areas of self-centeredness that can tie us down and weigh us down and keep us from becoming like Christ. We saw the cravings of sinful man. And we talked about the lust of the eyes. And we talked about what greed can do. And moving from greed to generosity, and greed being a love of what I have, a love of stuff, a love of things that is simply not from God and is not pleasing to God. We moved to generosity, but again, there's so many different areas that can grab us and take hold as we don't give God our belongings, as we don't recognize that He is supreme and we want what we want. And it becomes a stain that is hard to pass up. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, sorry, I got those out of order, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does. In King James, we have the lust of the flesh. And this is actually the lust of the eyes. And in the lust of the flesh, we looked at moving from foolishness to wisdom. Moving through faithfulness, moving through perseverance to wisdom, and dealing with those desires that are in our deepest soul, that are fleshly, that are literally taking hot coals in our laps because we are making decisions that simply meet the desires of my own personal heart. And that would deal with things like lust, and that would deal with so many other things that control us. But God says, I want you to be faithful no matter what you feel. I want you to be consistent and persevere. The lust of the flesh is another area that can weigh us down, that can terrorize us, that can keep us from being like Christ. And then finally, the last one in verse 16 there. And the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, from the world. This was actually the first path we looked at, the root of so many different things. Pride. And moving from pride to humility to integrity to finally courage, which is the absence of self. The ability to stand for Christ no matter what I might look like, no matter what it might do to my reputation. The ability to stand for what is right. And pride again includes so many different things. You can argue that pride is the root of all sins, but you have things like lying. You have things like self-will. Things like always thinking you're right and you know what's best. And all of these areas are in 1 John chapter 2, and it's not all-inclusive, but it sure covers most of what we struggle with, doesn't it? And as long as these four things rule us, it keeps us from being like Christ. Keeps us from moving on in our quest. There are obstacles that must be dealt with and moved on. And that's sort of where we've been, taking the elements of 1 John chapter 2 and exploring how to overcome them, realizing that we don't just move from hate to love overnight, but there has to be an element of forgiveness. There has to be an element of acceptance. And we don't just move from pride to courage, but humility is something that's learned over the course of a lifetime that can lead to integrity, that can lead to courage. So that's where we've been. But where I really want to talk today is where we are. Where we are, because like I said, it's great to talk about these things. It's great to remember and say, yeah, I'm going to work on some of those things and maybe even memorize the verses that we've talked through. But are we going to move beyond it? It is so easy to come on Sunday mornings and have a routine. We come, we sing 6 worship songs, stand up for 3, sit down for 3, have offertory, have announcements, hear something from the Bible, go to Sunday school, and we get into this pattern, and it's so easy, I think, for us to move to a point where it's just passing by. And we're here because, hey, we should be here. There's no football teams in the area anyway. Sorry for those that are anxious to get to games today. But we forget that the purpose and the point of God's Word and the purpose and point of coming together is sanctification. It is to constantly becoming more Christ-like. Every time we open God's Word, we should be asking the question, what does God want to challenge me with? How do I apply this? Because we never get to a point where we have applied enough. We never get to a point where we are finished. And I know everyone would agree with me on that. But do we get to a point where we no longer want to examine ourselves? Where we're comfortable with life, we're comfortable with our Christianity and how we exercise it. So we just come to learn more facts and forget that it's about application and being challenged, becoming Christ-like. And so where we are in the process of sanctification is about evaluation this morning. And as we wrap up a series like this, it's about saying, where am I at? Where am I at on these 12 characteristics and the 4 negative characteristics that I'm trying to avoid? And on the back side of your notes, I've actually listed out all of the paths and all of the different characteristics. But I'd like to read some verses before we get to that sheet. Lamentations 3, 40 to 42. And just listen. Listen to what God's Word has to say. Let us examine our ways and test them. And let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled and you have not forgiven. And we see Jeremiah calling out for an examination, a testing. Literally, do we have sin in our lives is the question he's asking. Do we have sin we need to repent from? And we are no different from the children of Israel. We need to examine our ways and test them. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, a popular passage as we deal with communion and the Lord's Supper, and the instruction there is, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. A man ought to examine himself. And if you think through communion, communion was something they practiced regularly. We hold communion on the first Sunday of every month. They probably practiced it much more regularly than that, probably every time they came together. And so the call here is for consistent, perpetual examination. Not just at the first of the year when I'm doing resolutions, but consistent examination. Am I right before God? What does God want to do in my life today? What area in my life is displeasing to God? I'll read a couple more. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are of the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And the call there is, examine ourselves. Do I really believe in Christ? Has that belief exhibited in my actions, in the character that Christ is building? Finally, James 1:22 through 25. Familiar passage, as many in this series have been. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Maybe the emphasis is mine there. But I could see James doing that. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has seen and heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And James is setting again, examine yourselves, look in a mirror, look in the mirror of God's word, the perfect law, and examine ourselves and say, is there anything that needs to be fixed? But then fix it and work on it. Because it says if we just talk about these things and say, oh, I need to work on that and forget about it, it's worthless. It's worthless. So this morning when we say, where are we? It's a matter of evaluation. And it's a matter of looking at godly characteristics and saying, what do I really need to work on? Where do I really need to improve? Not just what do I want to improve, but where do I need to improve? And if we're to really look at these, we need to keep in mind a few principles. Examination of ourselves must be led by the Holy Spirit. It must be through the power of prayer. That's the starting point. Because God is the one that wants to work on these things in our lives, and so who better to tell us, maybe it's time to work on some humility. You know what? You hold your stuff a little tightly. Maybe it's time to work on gratitude. Wholeness. Generosity. Must be led by prayer and the Spirit. If we're to examine ourselves, we also have to be honest. If we look at that list, and like we said at the beginning, and you all laughed at me and said, got those down. Can't wait for the next series. Then we're just lying to ourselves. Probably we should look at the pride category. We got to be honest. But that's hard. Do I want to see my weaknesses before God? Do I want to be confronted on where I need to grow? Can I risk, in front of brothers and sisters in Christ, looking like I don't have it all together? But that's what it takes to examine ourselves and to start continuing on the quest. Third thing, as we examine ourselves and look at the characteristics, is we need to ask much more than the externals. Not just do I practice this, but do my motives reflect this? Does my heart reflect gratitude? Does my heart reflect wisdom or foolishness and moving past foolishness to faithfulness? Fourth tip, if we're to examine ourselves, and this is secondary because we're led by prayer and the Spirit, but if we really want to move forward in the quest, ask someone close to you to examine you. Give them the list and say, will you tell me how I'm doing on each of these? And see, now we're really meddling. That's really scary to do. But are we serious about seeking Christ-likeness? Or is it lip service? Fifth little tip I would give on examining ourselves is to come back to it often. The way sanctification works is God is working on something in me this week. And as He works on that and peels that part of the onion off, it reveals more things next week. Isn't that the case? The closer you get to God, the more He reveals about our hearts and how desperately wicked they are and what we need to work on. So it's not a one-time thing. Oh, I examined myself that Sunday that Pastor Ron asked me to. I'm working on this one thing. I'm good. No, it's a continual process, just like we saw in the verses, the 1 Corinthians 11 verse. Come back to it. As God peels off layers of the onion, see what else needs to be peeled. I'd like to do something just very different this morning, and maybe a little uncomfortable for us to do on a Sunday morning during the service. But I'd like to just take a few moments of quiet and have you turn your notes over to the sheet with all of the paths on it. And on each one of the items, there's a box. And I'd like you to go through and examine yourself. This is a private moment. This isn't the time to ask someone else. This isn't the time to worry about what someone else is thinking, but just spend a moment with you and God and say, how am I doing on these things? And however you want to. Maybe you want to check the things that God has on your heart for you to work on. Maybe you want to do some sort of scale. I like scales. It's how I personally work. And so if I was doing it, I'd probably, on a scale of 1 to 10, say, man, 10, I really need to work on this. Or well, there's not going to be any ones, but, you know, 4 or 5, okay, I feel like I'm growing in this area, but there's these other areas that I really need to work on. But however you want, I'd like to take just a few moments of quiet and do this right in the service. And I'd like to start with prayer, just like we said. Lord God, may we examine ourselves. May Your Spirit examine us. And begin to challenge us to work on becoming more like You and having Your character. Reveal to us Your heart, not ours. In Your name, amen. Just take a couple moments to do that. I know that's probably not enough time, but this week I encourage you to finish that exercise. Spend some time with you and God. But I know how homework works, and if we don't start it, we don't do it. To remind us of examining ourselves and remind us of the path that God has started to follow, I'd like to turn to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, and go ahead and turn there. Starting at verse 37. And so many of the Jewish traditions started with a direct command from God for a specific reason, and this is one of those things. Numbers 15, verse 37. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corner of your garments, with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lusts of your hearts and your eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." And God was giving them a visual. I love visuals. But He was giving them a visual to say, okay, all of these commands and all of the instructions I've given to you, remember to obey them. Remember to examine yourselves. Remember to be improving on them. This is my desire for you. And so He had them take a tassel with a blue cord in it and put it on the corners of their garments. And today we have tassels. You don't have to put them on your garments. They have key rings. But I love visuals because it reminds us of truth, and we tend to forget so easily. And specifically it says not only to obey the commands of God, but it said that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lusts of your own hearts and lust of your own eyes, two of our categories, two of our pathways. So just as you leave today in a few moments, I'd like you just to pick up a tassel. You just put it somewhere. You can even put it in a drawer or put it wherever you want, but somewhere visible might be a visual to say, I need to remember to follow the commands of God. That the quest isn't over. That God still wants me to be developing godly character, and I should be asking Him daily where that needs to happen. And remember Numbers chapter 15. The final section of your notes is just a brief section. Where are we going? Where are we going? Every day the Holy Spirit is to sanctify us further. But like I mentioned at the beginning, sanctification ends when we are in glory with Christ, or glorification. And at that moment, we will be stripped of the sin that weighs us down. And we will be stripped of these things because we will be in glory in Christ and will be perfected. And to me, this gives us hope and encouragement to keep the quest going. Because there is an end that is glorious and amazing. In 1 Corinthians 13, 10 through 12, "But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Catch that? "Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you," the process of sanctification, of being Christ-like, "will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And we could read more, Philippians 3, 12 through 16, Romans 8, 29 and 30. But glorification is coming for those that know Him. a time in eternity with Christ where we are not weighed down by these things. But while we are here, the quest continues. And our challenge is to be committed to purging ourselves of these things. To take the areas of our life that are characterized by hate and bitterness, and to let Christ do something with those. To take the lust of the eyes, the greed, and to let Christ do something with those instead of weighing us down. To take the foolishness, cravings of our heart that so control us, and say, God, that's yours. To take the pride and to say, no more. I want to be like Christ and see what His blood can do.
Sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus, Jesus, fly to Jesus and live.
Thank you, Emmy, for a visual presentation of the quest. starting with the blood of Christ covering the sins. And every one of those items have been covered by the cross, moving through life to eternity, to glorification with Him. As we end this series, we would be remiss not to give an opportunity to begin that journey and begin that quest. Because the glorification only happens for those that know Christ, for those that have recognized the cross, because we all have things in our lives that are sinful, that are contrary to God, to His will, to His character. Every one of us has that because we have that natural man. That's the beginning of the quest, is from self-centeredness, the natural man, to Christ-likeness. And to be on that journey, it's about saying, I am a self-centered person. I don't know Christ. And if there's any here today that have never come to that point, we know that Christ Jesus came to earth and lived a perfect life with none of the trappings of the sinful man. And because of that, He was worthy, and He alone was worthy, as we heard about the Day of Atonement, to sacrifice Himself on the cross, to pay for our sins, because the penalty for the natural man is death. But the perfect man that was God Almighty hung on the tree, and His blood covered our sins for those that will believe, for those that will come to Him and come to Jesus and say, I need You. I need You. I'd like to just bow our heads. And if you're here this morning and you have never made that decision to follow Christ, I urge you to start on the most incredible quest you will ever be on. One towards Christ-likeness, one towards being in glory with Him. And it starts by belief on Jesus Christ and giving our lives, ourselves to Christ, to honor Him, to worship Him, to accept His sacrifice on the cross. If that's you, I'd just like you to repeat after me, quietly right there. Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner, that I have done things contrary to Your character, and that the penalty for that is death. But Lord, today I know that Jesus Christ paid that penalty on the cross, and His blood has atoned for my sins. Lord, today I accept that sacrifice and commit to following You. Lord, make me Your son or daughter. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's a decision you've made today, please come talk to myself or any of the elders. We would love to celebrate with you. Just truly celebrate. As we leave, please remember to pick up a tassel, and the quest is just beginning. Thank you for coming. God bless.